Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
Coxie.
G'day, Wazza.
Wazza. Someone called me Wazza recently and I did the whip around with the angry face on and then had to just check myself because I was like, nobody calls me Wazza. Oh, except you, perhaps.
Except personally. Me sometimes when I'm being cheeky.
Because you like to poke the bear a few times.
I do like to poke the bear. And you have just perfectly dovetailed into something that we'll be talking quite a bit about today, and that's changing your mindset, right?
Oh, nice Chucky Norris segue. Speaking of fighting too.
Punching, yes.
Oh, we're just rolling out the segues. Chuck Norris, he did a bit of fighting in his movies.
He did do a little bit of fighting, or Chuck Norris doesn't fight. I don't know. There's something there that you can make up, and I forgot. Yeah. I don't know how to do it.
We are speaking to someone who is bringing the fight in a different way in today's episode. A man by the name of Jason Sotiris from the Fair Fight Foundation. There's a bit of alliteration using the F word. Got to think about that one. And heck of a story.
It's incredible. But
today's episode is really cool because there's like three stories within the story.
Mm.
And there's all these wisdom bombs getting dropped around the place from a tradie, a father, a husband, a lifelong learner. He scunned his knees a few times by the sounds of it. And it's just a cracking episode. Probably we've probably run with a bit of a theme lately, Coxie, around change. And I guess just going deep into some of the nuances and the finer points of how to make change, because it's different for everybody. And I think Jason shares some great stuff that I haven't heard before, to be honest.
Yeah, there were some amazing insights in this episode. It's a cracking story. Just stop and listen to this one. Take the time to actually stop and listen to this one. Don't let it wash over you while you're doing something else. I really want you to sit in a chair and think about the lessons that Jason really shares today. It's a bit of an eye-opener, a heart-warmer, a tear-jerker. This one will really leave you thinking, but please stick with it. Stick with us. You will. The second you start listening, you're in like Flynn, I'm sure, and you will love it as much as we enjoyed our chat with Jason.
Not working?
It is just as you said that, it started working. So welcome to the podcast, Jason Sotiris. I hope I've said that right, mate.
Yes, you have.
Fair Fight Foundation, all the F's, mate. Wearing the Marvel hoodie and I saw was it a Captain America coffee cup I saw just flash up there?
Yeah, mate, it's made especially for this podcast. Been looking forward to it.
Mate. Our listeners will be intrigued to know what this is all about. I'm sure there's a few people out there picturing boxing gloves and canvas right now.
I am now.
Mate, welcome to the podcast. Great to be having a chat with you today. Nicole heard you recently on the radio, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
ABC Brisbane, that's right. Yep. Loved the story. Loved even more that we were talking to a tradie and just had to reach out. Jason and I had a great chat last week. Super keen to bring his message. See how I'm dropping into the supers already. We're going to do a lot of supering. Super keen to share his message and his story. There's a very interesting story. Listeners, you are in for a treat today. Jason, we'd like to start. We don't do bios here because we're really bad at them and we manage to get them wrong every time we try. So we'd like you to give us your bio. Who are you, Jason, and how do we come to be chatting today?
How do I answer that without getting too philosophical now? You are right. I'm a tradie. I'm a father of three and I've been in the construction game for nearly 10 years and found myself now as a CEO of a new charity. And the charity status was granted to us last year in October, November. And if you would have met me 2 years ago and said, hey, you're going to be a CEO of a charity, I would have laughed at you. And the reason why we have this charity is because as a tradie, I wanted to have a crack at reinventing the hospital gown for kids in hospital. And the reason why I wanted to do that was I wanted to find a way to help my daughter, who was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer shortly after her first birthday. She was getting progressively unwell. Talking to a few different doctors, and eventually we ended up at the Children's Hospital. And it took them 4 days of testing. And when I say 4 days of testing, that was the slowest 4 days in terms of time passing and how anxious we were just for any updates. It was so traumatic to sort of just ask continually, is there any updates? Do we know what's wrong with her? Because she was so unwell. And then come the fourth day, the afternoon, it was a rainy day, and they sat us down in one of the playrooms that they have on the wards in the Children's Hospital. We had the room to ourselves. And they said, look, we know what's wrong with her. The tests have came back and it's verified, and she is unfortunately very unwell. And they diagnosed her with a very rare form of cancer called Langerhans cell histiocytosis. When I first heard that word, I was like, I was looking at the doctor's reaction to sort of see, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is this, can this be fixed with a pill and we'll be home tomorrow or something? Mm. And they looked me right in the eye, and you know, it was quite a serious conversation. And I had to ask that question that every parent would like to know in that situation, was what are her chances of beating this? Now, unfortunately for my little girl, she had tumors all over her body, liver, spleen, it was present in her bone marrow, was on her skin, and it was a fight in front of her. And when I asked what are her chances of beating it, they told me straight, she has, look, from what we're seeing here and what we've seen with kids before, she has a 20% chance of survival. So you can interpret that how you wish. That's either, you know, 20% chance I'm going to focus on that, or there's an 80% chance I'm going to walk out of here without my little girl. Now, for the tradies that are listening to this podcast, that especially are parents, if you can imagine how I'm feeling, what bloody use am I to this? What can I do? You know, as that father, as that parent, as that protector, I can only describe it as what it felt like, a bully that was trying to kill her, that was inside of her, and I just couldn't get to it. And I felt like a useless, helpless dad. And I was really frustrated. So out of desperation, I was looking for ways that I could try and help her. And what I noticed that when kids go through the battle with cancer and they're on these chemotherapy treatments, and some of the chemo that they give the kids are quite harsh, the type that causes all sorts of reactions as well as makes you lose your hair. One particular night was quite traumatic. She woke up, she coughed, she threw up. And here I am trying to change her when she has all these IV drips and heart monitors and all these things. And if I had a pair of scissors on me, or if I had the ability to just rip that shirt off, I would. But then a light bulb went off in my head and I was thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going to have a go at this. It took me 2 years. Had a lot of help. You can imagine my daughter went through treatment for nearly 3 years. So I got to know a lot of the nurses, a lot of parents. They were going through similar journeys. Got to bounce ideas off them. And in June 2018, I walk back into that hospital with my little girl, and I'm holding the Super T. And we gave it the name Super T because it's a superhero-themed garment. My son is a superhero fanatic. I mean, you look at me today wearing the Marvel jumper. You should see we've got a wardrobe just for his costumes.
That's cool.
He spent a lot of time away from his sister. You know, she was treatments and scans and that sort of thing. And she was in scanning one day. He was very young. He didn't quite understand. He comes out of his bedroom dressed as a superhero, and I was looking after him whilst mum was at the hospital with Angela. And as a joke, I say to him, you know, what are we doing today? Who are we saving? And he mentioned his sister's name. And I you know, it's, as parents, you don't really realize the impact that having a sick child has on the brothers and sisters or the siblings, you know. But when I researched and I looked into that, there's actually something known as the alter ego effect, the superhero effect. Well, you know, we'll talk about the concept of mental health. It was something that we really wanted to bring for the kids in hospital because morale is really low. A lot of these kids don't understand what's going on. And I challenge anyone to answer that question. How do you encourage a child to be brave in hospital when they've got no bloody idea what it means to be brave? Okay. But I can tell you something. They know what a superhero is. They know what a superhero does and what it means to be a superhero. So when I researched, I managed to come into contact with this awesome child psychologist. Her name is Dr. Stephanie Carlson. She's based in Minnesota in America. I still stay in contact with her. And she shared a few of her studies with me. And we got to see that there's a psychological distance between the child and the task at hand when they take on that persona of adopting a different character. And they're now looking at it through the lens of someone different. You impersonate that superhero. Yeah. So now all of a sudden it's not Johnny or Sally going in for an MRI or surgery. It's now Captain America or Captain Marvel. And this is something we wanted to bring to the kids. And it gave us the idea of, okay, let's have this as a superhero themed garment. The stories that I've heard and come across, the families I've met, the odds overcame and the odds lost. These kids are superheroes. And it gave the most appropriate name, Super T. It's not a gown, it's not a t-shirt, it's a Super T. Since then, we've grown very fast. We're now in every major children's hospital. We're in hospitals that have pediatric wards. And I can't keep up with the requests from the nurses and play therapists. The kids that we've helped, the Super T's that we've distributed, it's not even a drop in the ocean in comparison to the number of sick kids there are out there facing life-threatening conditions. Yeah. So it's a very long bio, but that's the that is pretty much what, you know, the summary of it all. Well, I think, yeah.
You can pretty much guarantee that I would have made an absolute meal of that, mate, and not it. With anywhere near the impact that you have, of course, it's your story. So, Jason, just curious, mate, what is or was your trade? I'm not sure if you're still doing that now, but
okay. I try to find the most elaborate way to explain it. Okay, I am a bathroom silicone specialist, otherwise known as a joint sealer.
Cool. So
I like the gaps. Extrapolated version.
Yeah.
It looks better on a business card. You know, it looks better. It's like, what's this guy? Why? You know, okay. It's something I never planned to be in. I actually have a history of being in real estate. I was an estate agent overseas. That's where I met my wife and came over here, tried it, realized it was very different to the way it was overseas that I was used to and couldn't handle the long hours. Thought that I could have more control if I had my own business and became a tradie because my brother's a tradie. He's a waterproofer. Made it seem and sound awesome. And how wrong was I? I'm sure a lot of tradies. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of tradies out there. Yeah, I'm still working. It's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. Still trying to. I get to go home when the job is done. So, but it worked out. It was okay. I'm no longer a tradie. I dabble every now and then with friends and family. I'm a full-time CEO now of a charity. Yeah.
It's a heck of a transition, mate, and it's something I'd love to dig into a little bit is, particularly for our listeners, of course, being trade business owners predominantly and trade business wives, is that transition from, I guess, doing with your hands, you know, you filling people's gaps or selling their real estate or whatever it is, to what seems at least to people from the outside, you know, the role of a CEO of just probably doing this, you know, drinking coffee out of a Captain America mug, having chats with people on the computer, moving pieces of paper around the desk. Can you talk to us a bit about that transition from what you were doing before to the actual business side of the foundation, the Fair Fight Foundation?
Certainly. The first thing that comes to mind is I was actually built to sit at a desk pushing buttons at a computer and then to be thrown into the world of a construction site where you're lifting heavy things and carrying boxes and climbing up scaffolding and stuff, that sort of stuff. I just wasn't built for it. But I enjoyed being a bathroom silicon specialist. I enjoyed it. And I, you know, it's something that I will miss. And I think a lot of tradies that are feeling, perhaps if they're feeling that now, listening to that podcast or this podcast where they're thinking, oh, geez, I hate this trade. If you've done something for so long and you become quite proficient in it and you consider yourself a master of your trade, like I did, you're going to miss it because that's the world you know. So it was hard for me to say goodbye to it. It was definitely a leap of faith to say, hey, I'm going to leave this and go back into, I wouldn't consider it corporate world. It's a the charity industry is its own little world. You're in the business of trying to support and further your cause.
Mm.
And in our case, it's trying to help Australia's sickest children get through their hospital journey. So I've learned a lot of things along the way. Being a tradie, there's a lot of things that I think a lot of tradies don't realize what they pick up being a tradie, such as the understanding that, you know, it's up to you to get the job done, that when you start something, you have to finish it, and only when you finish it that you can put your, you deserve your payment or put your invoice in. The long hours that it takes to build a business, how you juggle being a tradie with your hands on the tools as well as trying to grow a business. All of these things that I've been able to take from that life into this, in addition to what I learned being a real estate agent, which is negotiating deals, trying to manage a team, being in the car a lot, driving around. You just take what you know. And what I find so interesting about this is that everybody's journey is different. But I don't think we realize what sticks, and I think that a lot of people should, if you're a tradie and you've started and you've got your own business or you're working for someone and you've been with them for a while, I don't think a lot of us look back often and sort of take that moment and say, hey, I've done this for quite a while. I'm actually quite proud of myself.
Mm.
So this is, I think, an opportunity or a reminder to everybody listening, you know, take that time, just look back and say, hey, I've been a plumber for such and such. I've been a painter or a sparky. And if you've survived that long and done it for that long and you're still able to do it, that itself is, you know, it's something to be proud of. Not a lot of people can survive in the construction industry, I think.
No, it's a tough industry. And I think what you're talking about there, that transfer of skills that we pick up, interesting to pull that back even into your personal story with your daughter and how you were able to transfer the skills you'd learned along the way of being in business, whether it be in real estate or being a tradie or any of your other life experiences, and then bring them to the fore as you needed to, with having to cope with, I don't know if there's any other way to explain what you go through when a child is so sick. I think you're just putting one foot in front of the other. There's no opportunity for you to even get deep understanding of what you might be about to go through, because there's no one journey that's the same for you to really get that. So that transfer of skills yet again has shown up when your daughter was so, so ill and you needed to be there for her and your family and lead your way through that process. Did you at any point in time in those early days when it was really just so crucial, and you referenced earlier the long period of time of not knowing and the waiting, did you have any concept at that point, and hindsight's a marvelous thing, of course, but what sort of skills you might need to bring to the plate for you to be able to keep moving forward through those really challenging times?
Yeah, and it's a really good question to ask, actually. One thing that I remember is when you go through something like that, you're mentally fatigued. You're so tired, and there's no end in sight. You don't know when is this nightmare going to stop.
Mm.
Please tell me that this is just a dream and I'm going to wake up from this. You add that into, I mean, whilst my daughter was going through treatment, I still needed to work. I think a lot of parents tend to forget, or a lot of people forget, that when a child is diagnosed, often mum or dad would give up their job to be bedside. So you've got to worry about, can I now continue on and work as a trainee, work in my business? The skills that I think naturally as a trader, you develop some sort of resilience. I'm sure there's a lot of tradies out there that can relate, where they've turned up to jobs and think, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm going to be in and out of here in a flash. And then, yeah, you forget one tool or one thing breaks and then your day is stuffed. So you tend to have an understanding that don't celebrate too early. Be patient, be resilient. Don't jump the gun. I think that all kind of, to a degree, gets thrown out the window when you're going through something as traumatic as just learning that your child has cancer and has a very slim chance of survival. It's completely reactionary. There was a lot of times where I found it really hard to contain myself. I knew I had this one rule that I would not cry in front of my child. A lot of parents would probably disagree that that is not probably the best thing to do. But in that circumstance, I felt that I had to control whatever I could control. So if I was going to have a breakdown, I would do it in private, in the hallway of the hospital room. As far as my daughter is concerned, everything is hunky dory. Everything's good. Everything's okay. Mm. So when I started to look at her situation and time was passing and we were encountering some really tough situations, I started to ask myself, what is it that I can do? That question was really something that I was desperate to answer. Now, it takes on average $1 billion to come up with a new type of drug.
Mm.
When you look back of how a drug is formed and it goes through all the red tape and gets to the part where it's approved and can be distributed and used, it takes about $1 billion on average. And there's no way I'm going to come up with $1 billion. And no matter how many fun runs and barbecues and jobs I do, I'm not going to get close to that. But I did think to myself, well, what if there was an industry that could be created? Or what if there was a cause that everybody could get behind? And I don't know if you remember the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That will probably go down in history as one of the most successful fundraising events that people took part of. I mean, celebrities of every sort got involved in that. So I wanted to see what would be my Ice Bucket Challenge that I could bring to the world. And when I saw my daughter's challenge of being comfortable in a hospital bed and the degree of control that you have over her hygiene, and the idea of the super tea sort of started, and how hard it was to come up with different ways to solve that problem, I really had to tap into that tradie mindset. How many tradies have been on jobs where they've had to just figure out how to get the job done? So, you know, and if you don't get the job done, guess what? You're not getting paid. it's going to be hard, or you're going to lose that customer because they're not going to believe in you as being that go-to tradie that solves their problems. And I think when you think of tradies, that's essentially what we are. We're problem solvers. We come on site and the problem is handle this, move that, do this, build this. So it took about 2 years. And we tried everything: Velcro, zippers, buttons, reversible versions. I think there was one with shoelace ties. My kids were the guinea pigs. We tried every single way that you could operate or create a garment. The money that I threw at trying to make a hospital garment, thank God I came into contact with this lovely old lady who lives not too far from me, who took pity on me. She saw what I was trying to do. She's, you know, one of those ladies that do the alterations for your kids' school uniforms. She said, I'll help you. She came out with the final prototype that we used just before going into mass production. And it's people like that you come across that if you don't have the skill set, there are people out there that may know part of the answer at least. So to answer that question, it's that mindset of not knowing, but bloody hell, I'm going to figure it out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry, Warwick.
We both drew breath at the same time.
We do this all the time.
I'll let you take a swig of that coffee, mate. You mentioned earlier, there's so many questions I want to ask, but you mentioned earlier about emotions and choosing when to show them and with whom.
And yeah.
I just wondered if you had any strategies that you employed to be able to do that, or if it was just what, you know, a lot of people think it's just willpower or epic levels of discipline, but, you know, how did that pan out for you and did you succeed?
There's a short and a long answer to this. The short answer is you cope. And the long answer is you find ways to cope, and that might be from things that you've experienced in the past. It could be from realizing that, hey, this is a child that has no understanding of what's going through, what they're going through, and I don't want to make it worse. The least I can do is just make things as good as I can make it. For myself personally, I found talking to myself quite helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's underestimated. I think that's underrated as well. Just having a good bloody conversation with yourself, whether that's in front of a mirror or writing it down. I think a lot of people don't understand the power that's in that. It's just something about getting it out of here through there. It just does something. And knowing that there are times where it's appropriate to let it out. Sometimes you can't help it. But I think that it's like, okay, when I get into that car, I'm just going to let it out, whether that's screaming, whether that's crying. Don't underestimate what a punching bag can do to help you. Yeah, a good punching bag, yeah, for us blokes, for the girls as well. I mean, no, I'm sure that there's a lot of broken punching bags around from people, depending on how upset or pissed off you are, I suppose.
Did you ever put faces in your punching bag, Jason?
So I think it's just whatever strategies would differ for every person. It's whatever way that you cope, but I would encourage you to find ways to cope. It could be through music. Music alters your mood, you know. A sad song will make you sad. A pumped up song will get you pumped, you know. So it's whatever tools you need to utilize. For me, I utilized it all, whatever way I could work. I listen to motivational stories. I tend to focus on the positive. Any stories of kids losing their battle to cancer, I would avoid because, hey, that's not us. You know, even though it could have been, that's not us.
Mm.
I think I had the mindset of whether to focus on either the 20% or of survival or the 80% chance of not surviving. And when you consider that the jury is still very much deliberating on whether or not a positive mindset makes a difference, at least in the medical aspect. You know, whether you go into hospital as a positive person or a negative person, what that does what that does for your diagnosis, I think it's inconclusive. But I'm convinced that it does make a difference. I believe that if you went in there, and it's only because of what I see and the people I meet. You know, if you ever meet anyone from a military background, if you're going into war, you're going into fight, or you know, be it a boxer or MMA fighter. If you're going in with the mindset that I'm going to kick this person's butt, I'm going to have this. This is mine. I'm going to win. I think it does give you that edge. So that's all I can say, really, from that perspective. I'm not trained or I'm not a counselor. I can only say that that's what helped me. Yeah, I was convinced my daughter was going to make it.
Nothing beats a positive attitude, I feel. We talk about it quite a bit here at Tradies in Business. And I think, you know, finding that positive attitude in some of those really hard moments can be challenging. But if you do have the resources to draw on, whether that be the boxing bag, whether it be having those conversations with yourself, can be really beneficial to help reminding you and bringing you back to that point. I think something we don't talk about enough, I believe, is the way the men in our lives are leaders within their own families. We all take on different roles in our families. Trying to be a leader through such a challenging situation to try and help the rest of your family, your other children, your wife, your extended family get through a situation like this, I know the men I talk to carry that weight quite seriously, quite heavily.
Yep.
How was that for you, and how then did you manage to, I guess at times you either need to lean into your feelings that might be similar to what the other members are feeling, or whether you put yours again aside so that you can help them with theirs. Like that's a huge challenge in itself. Mm. How did you get through that part of what you've been through?
Well, all I can say about that is what drives you is your why. Okay. So here I am, I've got this little girl. She's battling cancer. She's trying to stay alive. Anything that can go wrong. She's getting infections. She's being, you know, she's catching viruses. Poor thing. She's copping it, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, I dwelled a lot on why. Why is it happening to her? Why is it happening to her? You know, it's just not fair. It's not fair. But I've got this girl that I've got to help. I've got this little girl that I've got to help. So then I stopped. That was my motivation. My why of waking up every morning and having to fight, that she was my fire. Okay. And then you start wrestling with that concept of why. Why is it her? And then you start realizing there's no answer to that. What's happened has happened. I've got to deal with it. So then I should dedicate my focus on how. Mm-hmm. Okay, or what, or when, or where. Those are the questions I think are better to focus on. I think a lot of us dads, we focus so much on why things happen to us that we need to shift our focus more into, well, okay, well, what can I control? How can I control it? When can I do this? Where can I do it? With who? I don't know if you're following what I'm saying here, but it's kind of just a mindset. It's a mindset shift because for me, there was nothing I could do to really help her. I felt so useless and helpless. It impacted me as a father, impacted me as a man. It challenged my concept of what it means to be a man, the whole masculine narrative. I didn't really feel like a leader. I didn't feel like a worthy dad. I felt like a shit dad. I felt like a crap father, you know, because I can't protect this girl. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, my wife's looking at me for strength, and here I am. I'm just trying to keep myself together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would want to encourage anyone that's listening, stop thinking about why stuff is happening to you and start thinking about how. And what and where and when and who. Those are the things that are practical. Those are the things that you'll probably find something in there that you can do something about. And it's interesting because, you know, I like to think that I'm that evidence of that. You know, there's nothing special about me. I want to say that. I'm just, I got pissed off to the point that I got so desperate that I had to do something.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what. I didn't know how, I didn't know when or where or with who, but I knew why.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It's a great distinction, Jason, between the two whys. So many people are so focused on why does this keep happening and why aren't we doing better in business or why is my family member suffering like this instead of why would I keep going? Why would I
Yes.
Cope. Why would I challenge this? Why would I seek change? And yeah. That's a huge, there's a chasm between those two whys and what they're rooted in. And the second one, as you've so nicely pointed out, leads to action.
Yes.
It leads to change. You know, when we have a strong enough internal why, instead of looking for that external why, we stop being victims and we start being superheroes. To cheesily grab hold of your theme here, mate, and we start taking action. It's like, well, what can I do? And they are really empowering questions that you just rattled off.
Mm.
It's interesting because, like you said, when you shift from one side of the spectrum to the other, it does change your narrative. It does. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you talk to yourself. For anyone listening, I would say just be mindful of what you say to yourself. You know, there's so much power in words. I remember when I was feeling at my lowest and I let it all out. I was screaming, I was swearing, I was, you know, punching the steering wheel. You let that anger out. There has to come a point where you say to yourself, get up, you know, move forward, keep your chin up, keep going, get moving. Get it done. Those are the sort of things that you've got to start saying in your head over and over again. So, and those are that's the sort of talk you need to have with yourself in order to get you through those things. And when you start focusing on the how a lot and the what's and the where's, you'd be surprised. You dwell on that long enough, something's going to come your way. I don't know if you ever noticed that when you fall in love with a car, let's say you love your red Lamborghinis. I don't know if red's maybe you like a black Lamborghini. How many times do you just all of a sudden start noticing black Lamborghinis everywhere?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just subconsciously you start noticing it. So it's kind of a bit like that. If you keep focusing on, I think that's when you start to attract it. At least I believe that.
And you know, you talked about your neighbour or, you know, the lady in your street that did alterations, those sorts of opportunities. So I don't think it's that they show up, it's that we notice them.
Mm.
Yes.
They're already there. It's just that we don't see them until we allow ourselves to start thinking about, well, who could I get help from, or how could we achieve this? And then we open our eyes to opportunity around us. I mean, I don't want to diminish your story because it is so emotive and probably, you know, pulls at the heartstrings of a lot of our listeners, including myself with a young daughter. And there are so many parallels, given that we're all humans and we have this thing called human behavior and psychology, between what our listeners go through on a day-to-day basis with something seemingly as simple as business. And, you know, that shift in mindset around the how. How could I increase my profit by 50% instead of why can't I or why isn't it? Is so, so powerful and puts us in the victor role, in that superpower role.
It's interesting because when you don't know, there's someone out there that does.
Yeah, 100%.
There's for any tradie out there that is thinking, oh, I can't grow my business because of such and such, whatever bullshit excuse you're giving yourself. And, you know, if you're shaking your head at me now saying you don't understand, mate, I'm saying there are hundreds and maybe thousands of people that are saying the same thing you're saying. But I encourage you to find someone that has, because then you've got really no excuse. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, there's arguments there that, okay, could be luck, right place, right time, that sort of thing. But then I always remember the story of the stonecutter. You know, it's not the, you know, it's not, is it the 100th time that he strikes that stone that cuts it, or is it the 99 times before then that he kept striking it that caused that stone to break? I don't know if you've heard of that analogy. I'm not doing it justice, but it's just that repetition. I've got to find out where, how, where, who can I speak to? Do you know? No. Do you know someone that knows? No. Okay, I'll go somewhere else. What does Google say? What? Look for it. you'll find something, or at least you'll gain something from it. I have stuffed up so many times. I've blown money that you can't imagine. I've exposed my family financially by putting my whatever money I had left over into Super T after just trying to survive through Angela's treatment, because I had a strong enough why. I believed in this. I just needed to know how. And I didn't know that, but I knew that if I kept focusing on it, I'll figure it out. Something will come our way. Now I've got a board of people that sit on the, you know, I've got a board of directors that help with helping to drive the charity. And it's interesting because I've met some of them in the most strangest ways. You know, I worked on one, the chair of our board, I worked on his house. As a trait, I was doing a job and I'm hearing this guy on the phone and he's saying all these fancy corporate words. And I'm like, what the bloody hell does this guy do? You know, he's got a nice home. He's dressed nice and he's talking very, you know, very smart. I've got to ask him. And then when I found out, geez, he works for one of the largest accounting firms in the world, I had to say to this guy, look, this is what I want to do and I need help. Would you be able to help me? And just because he said no in the beginning, I took it as a K-N-O-W instead of an N-O. You just don't know enough, mate. Let me tell you more. And eventually he came around and I'm very proud to say he's chair of the board now. And I've met other people that sit on the board just through asking, how do I do it? This is my mountaintop. There's reasons why the mountaintop is smaller than the bottom of the mountain, you know, because a lot of people give up on the way there. And only a certain amount of space is occupied for those that do make it. But I do realize that you don't get there by yourself. You've got to get help, you know. And there are people that have climbed it that will tell you, hey, you know, watch this or look out for that, or this is what happened to me. I don't know. You've got to excuse me. I don't really feel qualified in talking about about this. You know, I'm still climbing my mountain and slipping, you know.
I can't see too many slips. I am intrigued, though, in some of those slips, because no matter how strong we are of mind or how certain or positive we are, and I'm probably leading you to something we spoke a little bit about on the phone the other day, there are times in our life where all of that is challenged, just like what you've been through with your beautiful daughter. There have been other times in your life when you've been challenged. Did you always have such a strong sense of self, such a strong sense of your mental health, or have there been difficult times as well that have led you to be so much stronger now?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a household where my father worked a lot, very rarely saw him, and money was a big problem, which caused a big issue between my parents. So I was exposed to that. I got kicked out of home when I was 18 years old. And my best mate committed suicide at the time, which for an 18-year-old, you know, during that phase of his life where friends are very important, to bury your best friend, it shocks you. It shocks your system. All of a sudden you're asking questions like, you know, one minute he's here and one minute he's not. And now I've got to bury my best mate. What's the purpose of it all? Fell in love with the wrong girl that led to my first divorce at such a young age. We eloped. So I'm very proud to say, and I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but I'm very proud to say I fucked up quite a lot. And thankfully I did that early in my life. And I've suffered in different ways. But it's interesting because you have two types of pain, the pain that hurts and the pain that changes or alters.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, if you don't know what type of pain it is, go touch a hot kettle, you know. Let's see if you touch it again. And if you still haven't learned your lesson, keep touching it until you learn. So I went through some stuff in my earlier days, and then I think that, you know, being faced with other things, like we went through situations where we've lost children, unfortunately, trying to become parents. Shit just happens to you.
Mm.
you know, and you just gotta know that life goes on. So for me, it was realizing that things are going to happen to you and you've got a choice on how you can react to it. At least that's the only thing that you can control. You know, and are you going to be this resentful, angry person that no one wants to be around, that you actually take a toll on people? Or are you going to try and make the best of what you've got? One of the things that really helped me and my wife with Angela's treatment was every day we texted each other three things that we're grateful for. It was a challenge and it was a bit of a game. So anybody going through a relationship problem or going through a real tough time, I hope that you find benefit in this. It's not going to help everybody. A lot of people listening will probably shrug this off and go, I'm not going to do this. But for those that are interested, this is how it works. Someone that you love and trust, say to them, hey, I'm going to text you three things that I'm grateful for. You're going to text me three things you're grateful for. But here's the thing. You can't use the same thing twice. Okay?
Oh, that is a big challenge.
Okay. And in the first couple of days, you're texting things like, you know, I'm grateful for my home, to have a nice home to sleep in. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my kids. We'll see how you go in a month's time when you are running out of things to say. But there lies the mindset shift, yeah, because now you're actively looking for things to be grateful for. You're like, okay, I'm grateful for coffee. I'm grateful for waffles. And then all of a sudden, you've trained your mind to look for things to be happy for. And I really hope that helps someone out there. You know, like I said, I'm not qualified. I can only talk from personal experience. That really helped my wife and I get through seeing our daughter suffer.
Mm.
You know, that really made a difference for us where, okay, what light can we bring to this dark situation? So,
I think there's a lot of wisdom and experience, Jason. It's not always about academic knowledge and qualifications. And, you know, we say that a bit here in our role as coaches and mentors as well about qualifications. And I hear a lot of people like yourself who have lived a heck of a lot of life in the years that they've been here, who are, I believe, eminently more qualified to speak on these topics than some of the people that, fortunately or unfortunately, garner a lot of media. So, mate, you have a lot of experience, and experience leads to wisdom. You know, it's the old tribal knowledge that used to get passed on. Mm. It's from experience. The people, as you said, that have climbed the mountain, they're the ones that know how to climb the mountain, not someone who read about it in a book so much.
I don't consider myself a leader. I don't think I've got – I'm still trying to get leadership qualities. You know, I've tried to grow my business with teams and I've failed. I've failed more than once. I've tried to hold on to staff. I've tried to motivate staff. I've tried to encourage people to, you know, to challenge their perspectives. I'm very much about growing as an individual. I don't feel qualified enough to consider myself a leader, but I'm interested in becoming one. And I want to become one, and I look for those that I consider to be good leaders. I think it's important to have role models in your life. And when I say role models, be very careful who your role models are. Like what you've just said, can play a major factor where you're seeing one aspect of a person, perhaps publicly, and not the real version of who they are. If you can find someone that you respect and admire who's been through the trenches, who's got a lot of war stories and scars and made it through the other end, I think you'll find value with that. I think it's great to have mentors. I wouldn't be where I am today without the help of others sort of spending time, giving up time, which is so precious. I mean, let's face it, you know, time, especially for tradies, you know, we live our life by time. It's like, okay, how much time is it going to take to do this or that?
Yeah.
Time is precious. When someone gives up their time to help you, welcome that, soak it in, be humble. Don't go in there trying to brag or boast and think that you are, you know, on equal footing or par or better than someone. Everybody knows something that you don't.
Mm.
I'm very nervous as a CEO. I still challenge myself to think if I'm qualified. I'm just leading with my heart on my sleeve, and my Northern Star is, okay, I just want to help sick kids. Who wants to help?
Yep.
So it's tough, man. It's tough. It's there's a lot of tradies out there going through different things, especially with COVID. People are trying to just keep the roof over their head. There's a lot of tradies out there that are perhaps going through difficult times with their loved ones. I want to encourage them. Keep going. Mm. You've made it this far. Keep going, guys. You know, and girls, just you're doing great. Look back. Be grateful. Keep at it.
Solid advice, Jason. Now, I guess there'll be a few people listening to this probably wondering, well, where is Super T headed? You know, what's sort of the vision for Super T and what's on the horizon for it? And I guess, you know, we should you know, give an update, I suppose, on your own journey and Angela's journey, mate. So just to answer any questions out there with our listeners.
Certainly. My little girl, she's turning 9 this month. Only recently I sat down with her and explained to her the full extent of what it is that she's been through. I told her the story. It was a couple of hours. We sat in our backyard here. And I told it as it is, everything she went through. I explained to her what cancer was. You know, she was too young to remember anything. And I think that was a blessing.
Yeah.
And I don't think she quite understood the gravity of the situation because, you know, she's seen herself on the TV and in magazines and newspapers that a few of her friends are starting to ask her questions. So it was time to sit down and explain that to her. There was a lot of laughter, a lot of tears. I was very careful with what I said to her. I didn't want to leave her anxious or scared. Mm. And then I had to be very careful with how I explained how I felt about it all. I think a lot of parents tend to forget. Well, when I say parents, I mean hospital parents or parents that have children that have been through hospital. Whenever you leave hospital, you're leaving with two things. You're leaving with the fear of having to go back. And you're leaving with absolute clarity or laser focus of what's important in life.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two things that you leave hospital with. With me, my fear of ever going back is still with me. I don't know. I think I display the symptoms of PTSD. I every time my daughter gets sick with a stomach ache or a headache, you can imagine what's going through my mind. But I cope. You know, I deal with it whatever way I can. So it's the demons in your mind, those whispers that you try and challenge. So that's my daughter is, yeah, she loves her TikTok. She loves hip hop. She loves, you know, YouTube. She loves friends. She's addicted too much to her iPad. She's just a happy, bubbly little girl, and it's a blessing every day to have her. Myself, I'm wary of how much time Super T takes from me to try and essentially get this startup to scale. I'm very proud to know that we're a nationwide charity, that we have the support of hospitals nationwide that are welcoming and asking for more of our Super Ts. I'm very proud to know that our entire business model depends on the generosity of other people that want to know where their money's going. And I like to challenge that narrative of people that say, oh, don't donate to charities. You don't know where your money goes. Well, I'm not asking you for that. I'm asking you to buy a Super T for a child in hospital. Mm. And that gives me the ability to keep doing that. My dream is to have one available for every time there's a child given bad news. I want to welcome them into that world of the superhero imagination. One of our sayings is strength through imagination. The future is, I've never been involved in something with so much potential. We're thinking of coming out with different versions, an NRL version for adults. You can imagine that, you know, you know, can you imagine? It's interesting. I pitched to the NRL and I made this pitch up just, you know, moments before walking into that room. I was like, what the bloody hell am I going to say to them? You know, I'm an Eels supporter. I'm a Parramatta Eels supporter. A lot of people probably shaking their heads now. a couple of years back, the club wasn't doing too well. So to be a fan during that time, you're a loyal fan. You're there for your team during their hardest time. And the challenge I set to the NRL was, when is the team ever there for the fans when they're going through their worst time? Well, I think I have something for that. Mm. So I would like to see the NRL, AFL get on board with this so we can have an adult and adolescent range. Mm. We've got different attachments that click onto the Super T, the whole medical devices. It's special. It's something that can go far. I really think it has the potential to go worldwide. I get asked through social media, how do we bring this to Canada, America, Europe? I don't know. I fire that question back. How would you do it? Again, it's how. Yeah. I know why I want to do it, but how? And that's kind of my journey now. I'm trying to figure out, how do I bring this? How do I make this bigger? How do I get that snowball going? Mm. Success for me, obviously success is different for a lot of people. Some measure it through wealth. I just want to know that I have left a legacy of sorts. I want to know that I want people to believe that, hey, if this guy can do it, and look at him, if this guy can do it, maybe I can. You know, I don't have, you know, I finished year 12. I don't have much in terms of an education. I've never been a CEO. A lot of tradies out there will probably relate that. I doubt that there's a lot of tradies out there with tertiary education in terms of university degrees and that sort of thing, you know, trying to figure it out. I think it's less about what you know and a bit of how do you figure it out and who you know. I think it's more to do with that. So, I would like to see Super T become the staple for every hospital in every, you know, for every child around the world. That's kind of my goal. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe you'll have me back on your show in 5-10 years or something, eh?
Let's lock it in.
We'll lock it in.
You've said it now. It's got to happen.
See how we go. See how we go.
10-year anniversary of the podcast.
Yeah, it's hard because you get to that stage now where, like, we're talking to corporates, we're discussing contracts. You need that team of people behind you, you know, to handle that sort of level of risk in conversation and potential. Tradies, you can't do it all yourself. You need a group of people you can rely on and trust. You need friends that celebrate the wins with you. You need good friends, and you don't need that many. Mm-hmm. And be prepared to lose friends along the way in your pursuit to try and get to where you want to be in life. And some of those people might actually be your family. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope people find value in this chat. I do.
I know they will.
I absolutely know they will, Jason. Yeah. We have done many, many interviews over the years here at Tradies in Business, and I think we're starting to develop a sixth sense for which ones are going to get a bunch of downloads and some good feedback, mate. So I hope so. Absolute gold in terms of wisdom, and mate, really appreciate your open sharing of your story, and I'm sure it's touched the heart of many listeners. And for those that don't have kids, even I know there's stuff in there around change and just the difference between the two whys is a cracker for me, mate. Not to sum up the whole episode, but mate, just want to say thank you. It's fantastic to speak to you. I look forward to seeing NRL Super T's in hospitals around the country and around the world sometime soon, big fella.
Can you imagine that? Thank you very much for having me on the show, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, absolutely, Jason.
Pleasure. You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.